Morning again.
Morning.
Glad to see all of you here this morning. We're continuing our study, not in Acts. We took a break in Acts, but we're studying our faith statements, basically, what we believe as a church. KBC, SBC, our statements. So we started with God's Word. We went to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, and now we will land on mankind this morning. So Romans 5, verse 18 through 21 is where we'll start, but we're going to hop, skip around through the Bible and look at mankind briefly this morning together. Any of us ever had a moment in our lives we wish we could go back and change, fix it, whatever you're wanting to do with it, and everything would be better? Just one thing, and everything else would be good. Sometimes we think this for many parts of our lives. Maybe many of us would spend more time with loved ones that aren't here anymore. Maybe that's the thing we would change. Many of us would end relationships sooner or keep relationships longer, whatever it is in your life. Maybe it was that choice to not sleep last night. Staying up late, maybe that's getting to you this morning. Maybe it was that weird food you ate last night you wish you could go back and pass because you're not feeling so well today. There's many things like that. We're going to look at mankind briefly today. We're not going to cover all things mankind, but we're going to see a moment that changed everything for everyone.
Amen.
And we're also going to see that God knew it and planned for it, and none of us would have done any better in the moment. Three parts this morning. Man is an image bearer, man is sinful, and man is saved. Romans 5, we're going to start in Romans 5, verse 18. Let's stand as we read God's Word together. Romans 5, verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as in sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you that we are gathered as your people, and we thank you for your holy word. Help us lean into it this morning, and let it guide our lives as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, normally I like going through passages word for word, seeing what all it has for us. Today we're just kind of highlighting this passage, and we're going to go through many others quickly today. So we're in the middle of a series called Giving Thanks for Our Faith. As we look at our beliefs together, we first looked at the Bible, what it is to us. It's God's inherent word, right? It's guide in our life, the very power of salvation in our hands. Then we looked at the Holy Trinity, God in three persons. This mystery is deep, and we stayed shallow, but we came away with knowing that all three are fully God, and all three are working in your life. Today we land on mankind, so who we are is what we will answer today. Let's begin at the very beginning. Man is an image bearer. What do we mean by this? Well, if you go all the way back to the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Now, it says this, and it goes on to say that we are over everything. So, made in the image of God, and then given all of creation to have authority over. So, what does the image of God mean is the real question. Some say it means attributes. So, we have some attributes of God, not like God, not fully, but glimmers of them. Some say that it is that we've been given dominion over everything. Like our Father in heaven, who is over all of creation, we too have been given dominion. Some say it's this. Some say this image is relationships, and that's why it goes on to say, and male and female, they made them. All these things are possibilities, and we see hints of these things in our lives and in Scripture, but I think there's a better explanation given to us by a scholar. His name is N.T. Wright. He says this. He says this idea of an image is best thought of as a mirror. So a mirror angled in such a way that we could see one another. He's thinking about his childhood upbringing, and he was sick and laying in bed, and his mom took a mirror, put it in the hallway, and angled it so she could see him from the other room and he could see her. We have a mirror in our bathroom. It's hanging on the wall, and it has compartment doors you can open. There's three little doors, and you can angle the mirror. You can see other parts of the bathroom. If you're standing in front of it and open it slightly, you can't see yourself at all because the mirror is angled away from you. N.T. Wright says, we are God's angled mirror on earth. We are how others see God. We reflect the Creator. This is the image. God seen through us. And I like this concept because it also fits what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 47. Paul says this, the first man was from the earth, a man of dust. This is Adam. The second man is from heaven. This is Jesus. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have been born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. So Paul here says that we all bear the image of the man of dust, which is Adam. And we're all going to see this image in a few moments. We bear the image of Adam, and those who have faith in Jesus Christ bear his image. One, the image of dust of the world, and one, the image of God in the flesh. One perishable, one imperishable. This is interesting that our Bibles reveal to us that mankind has gone from image bearers of God, is how we are created, to image bearers of the world and Adam. And now back to God again for all those who believe. So we all still contain this image we bear of God at creation. Everyone made, but also everyone tainted by the image of man, by the image of Adam, by the image of the dust, of the world. So everyone created one way, but tainted, which means everyone is equal. Everyone created by God with a certain image, though it's tainted by the world, everyone is tainted. That means we're all equal. So if you start with a hierarchy of people on your list, you're not starting at the beginning. You're starting incorrect from the onset. All people are equal. So races, cultures, no matter what background of a person they have, all are equal. Created by God is equal, and everyone tainted by the world with sin and this dust of the world, Adam. All are equal. Perfection is what Adam was. Perfection. Everything created good in the eyes of God, including Adam. Then a choice was made, and sin corrupted the image bearer and left all those who come after him standing in this corruption. Amen. The question is this. When the world looks at you, does it see the reflection of the world or the reflection of God? In your homes, in your occupations, in your friends' circles, what reflection is seen through you? Our text today put it in terms of obedience and disobedience. That's what Romans 5 says. It says in terms of righteousness and condemnation. Mankind is an image bearer. Which image are you bearing? We believe we bear the image of God, and we also believe we are sinners. Man is sinful. Now, we like to think that if we could just go back and smack that fruit out of Eve's hand and say, wake up, or smack Adam in the back of the head and say, speak up, or just wring that serpent by his neck, that it would all be better. We would all still be in the garden. No sin, no suffering. Pretty big garden by now, right? The picture on your handout today is a picture of two possible locations for the Garden of Eden. People have discussed this. There's no way of knowing where it was. The rivers don't exist by those names anymore. But people have talked about this and conversed on it, and there's two possible locations on your list for the geography buffs. That's Iraq, Iran, and Turkey is the area you're looking at. The Garden of Eden location on the top of your map is actually in the area of Turkey. So some people like to discuss that. That's our geography lesson for today. First and foremost, God knew and God planned for it. Everything that happened since that moment was known by God first. Secondly, the reality is if we did smack the fruit to the ground, Adam would have picked it up and took a bite. If we stopped it, it would have just happened some other way, prolonged it by a few moments, a few minutes, maybe a day. All have fallen short of the glory of God, and all have sinned, and we all would have sinned back then. All have carried the image of Adam. This is what we mean when we say we are all sinners. It has been passed from Adam. Our text today in Romans says, one trespass condemned all. One man's disobedience made us all sinners. Adam fell, and Eve fell, and the whole world fell. This is one of the harder points of Scripture to get across to people. As people, we think we are doing pretty good. We're not as good as we could be, but not as bad either. We've all thought of this, right? We've all compared ourselves to someone else not doing as well to feel a little better. We don't mean to, but we do it. It may have taken everything I had to get up this morning and get the kids out of the house and to school and to get to work on time, but Sally over there is wearing two different shoes, so I'm doing all right. We've all done it. We do this with our sins, too. Mine are not as bad as theirs. We choose sins to point out while ignoring our own. The problem is we have the comparison wrong. It's not us versus your neighbor, but us, you, versus the standard of God. And His standard is perfection. You versus the righteousness of God, and no one can stand in this comparison. Mankind has not been perfect since Genesis chapter 3. All fallen short does not mean as bad as you can ever be. It does not mean completely evil, completely wicked. It simply means not perfect. Every part of your being touched by sin in such a way that makes it impossible to be perfect. In this way, we all fall short and are all sinners. Listen to Isaiah here, one of the greatest prophets of the Bible. Isaiah 64:6. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. Ecclesiastes 7:20. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Matthew 5:20. Jesus speaking, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Did you hear who he just said that about? Scribes and Pharisees. He didn't mean they were perfect. He often talked about how vile this group was, but righteousness was his focus. And there was no group more righteous, seeking righteousness more than the religious elites. He says here, none will enter heaven unless their righteousness exceeds that of those who have Scripture completely memorized. That of those who pray every day, make sacrifices every day, are in the temple all day, every day. He's not saying they are righteous. What he is saying is no one can be righteous. Look how short those Pharisees fall. Those who put the most effort in fall. Look how short they are. What does this mean for us? It means we cannot earn ourselves out of sin. We cannot earn ourselves into heaven. We can do nothing but reflect the image we bear, and outside of intervention from God, we all bear the image of sin. This means that everyone who has ever lived has been destined to enter eternity on their own merits, which fall short of the God who demands perfection. That's not a good feeling. Everyone falls short. We're not stopping here, however, in our look at mankind. There's one more section. Man is saved. Our last section here, man is sinful. It makes us feel pretty bad. That's its purpose. The purpose of God revealing you to be a sinner is so that you would run to a Savior. All sinners and all in need of saving. All offered this salvation. Our starting off text today says sin reigns in death. But it also says where sin increases, so does grace. It doesn't mean sin more get more grace. It says this grace is what leads to eternal life through Jesus. All your sins are covered by this grace. That's what this means. First, what is grace? Grace is God stepping into our lives that we have all of us leading and headed to hell. That's what a sinful life is, and we're all sinners. So it's God stepping into our lives as all of us are headed to hell and saying, I have a gift for you. This gift changes your eternity. Grace is the undeserved love that God has displayed for us. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins, so dead in your sins. You were dead in these sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. All of mankind, children of wrath. Not a good feeling. But God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Amen. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Here's the part we know. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Mankind all had one destiny. And that was to live out their lives as image bearers of the fallen Adam and to remain disobedient until we met death and then hell. But God, hear that, but God. It is the only interjection that counts in our lives. Nothing we could do. We have all sinned and all loved our sin, and nothing we could do could ever change that, but God. God extended wonderful grace. God sent his Son. sacrificing him for the very thing killing us, our own sins. Our faith in this man on the cross for us changes our destiny forever. We could not earn it and cannot boast in it because it was God's and God's alone. Do we understand this? This is you pleading guilty in the courtroom, and the judge standing up and saying you are guilty, but I'll pay the penalty so you can be free. This is the judge standing up and saying you are guilty and deserve death, but here is my son for you. Even more than this, you are guilty of the crimes against the person paying for you to be found innocent of the crimes. We put the son on the cross, and he hung on the cross for us. It does not make sense. And yet, God does this for us and calls it his love and his grace. This is how mankind is saved. Not by doing deeds, not by showing up to church, not by somehow saving ourselves. Mankind is saved by realizing its need for a Savior. We are all sinners. And then leaning into the Savior who died for sinners. The sacrifice for our sins and the Spirit turning us from these sins, all done by God as a gift for all who believe in the Son. Does this describe us? Does this describe you? There's one more note here on the saving. Not all of mankind is saved. Not everyone will go to heaven. We like to think this is the case, but it is not. Jesus paid for all, but some will never turn to him. Some will never have his Spirit within them. Some will never believe. There's some argument on what to call this. People call this various things to wrap their mind around it. Some say it isn't fair. But that's merely saying God owes you something. He does not. Some say that is wicked, but that's assuming you know better than God and are more righteous than God, and it ignores that no one truly deserves saving, yet millions believe in the Lord Jesus and are saved. However you need to wrap a bow on it to make it okay with you, know this, it is the truth. Not everyone is saved. We looked at passages like Matthew 25 in which it has us being sorted and those on the left enter the lake of fire and destruction, and those on the right enter righteousness. Our favorite verse, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish." There's it is, believers only, but have eternal life. It continues, verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Praise God for that. But then verse 18 says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already." Amen. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father in heaven. Only those who truly repent and claim his name are saved. Let's continue in the same chapter. John chapter 3, verse 36. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." This means hell. Why am I pushing so hard on this? Because it has to be clear to us. Not everyone is saved. It has to be clear because we all have someone in our lives that do not believe in Jesus. Maybe they claim it, but you cannot see it. Maybe they outright deny it. No matter their public position, you know salvation is not theirs. Think of that person. Their eternity is at stake. This is why it is important to know what you believe. If you believe this book, if you believe your faith statements, then that person in your life is headed to hell. You may think, well, I just don't want to think about that. But we must think about that. But because this scripture that we hold dear says it's the case. And this scripture that we hold dear is their only chance. It is the gospel that saves and not themselves. We can't wait for them to try to save themselves. It is Jesus that saves and not us. There's nothing we can do for them. It is the Holy Spirit moving within that person on your heart right now. And it will never happen if they never hear it.
Amen.
You can't ignore it. You can't turn the other way and say, well, that's okay. Scripture says it's not okay. Everyone was headed to hell before meeting Jesus. Everyone. So we must come face to face with this reality so we will do something about it. Something changed your heart, and it can change theirs. Why do people not believe? Well, the biblical answer is the Spirit of God is not moving in their life. There is no salvation where there is no Spirit. This is always true. The more practical answer is this. They are in love with the world. In love with the world and cannot see past their love for the world to see the Creator, to see the Judge, to see their sins, to see the verdict is in and they need saving. Their sins feel too good to them, feel right to them. Sins may not exist at all to them. Everything is good and acceptable, and it's all leading them to hell. How do we know? Because we've all been there. They may be having the time of their lives, but it leads to hell. The other side of this coin is thinking they are good enough. Completely ignoring it, not caring about it, or thinking they're good enough. Some know sin and know God, but think they'll be just fine on their own. They don't need this Jesus stuff. You know what the Bible says? Paul says no one is without sin. No one is righteous, not one. Paul says all sin separates us from God, and God says Jesus is the only way back to Him. No one worthy until the worthy died for the unworthy. John says if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We all have someone we encounter every week that lives contrary to what we believe. Our question is, do we care? Do we care? And what will we do about it? Eternity is at stake. Do we care? To be the church, we must care. Today we've seen that all mankind is an image bearer. We were all made good and reflecting God until Adam fell short. Now we're all fall short, have all reflected the world instead. This means all of mankind has sinned. This is what our church holds to be true. We are all sinners. The good news is that God in His mercy sent His Son for us so that we could be saved. All are sinners, and those who have turned to Jesus are sinners saved. Though many will never turn from their sin. And we know many living in their sin right now. Maybe it is even you. Many will never turn to God, but Jesus died so everyone would have that opportunity. Who needs to hear this from you? Who in your life needs the heart change that can only come from hearing the gospel and having the Spirit move within them? Who is it? Pray for them. Reach out to them. It's never too late on this side of eternity. Never too late. Maybe the person in your life is you. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And no matter what has happened to this point in your life, this moment of faith decides your eternity. This is the truth of Scripture. All of human history, with all its variations and cultural differences and paths in this life, all of it ends in one of two places. Every moment of every human being that has ever happened all lead to the same two places, heaven or hell. The difference is not what kind of person you are. The difference is not how hard you worked at it. difference is Jesus.
Amen.
The difference is the Spirit of God within you. The difference is the gospel changed you. Has it changed you? And who needs it from you? Bring anything at all as we sing. What's on your heart today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day again, and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that it is a light to guide us through this life. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We know what he came to do for us. We know that you sent your Son for us. We know we're all sinners and all unworthy, but your Son died for us anyway. This is the truth we hold dear. Help us leave this place knowing who we are in you, Father. Knowing who we are in Christ. Sinners saved. But also help us leave this place knowing others need this message. Others need your Son in their life. Father, help us leave this place with boldness, knowing we carry the message of salvation. Be with us now, be in our hearts as we search our very souls for what weighs heavy upon us. Give us the strength to push through and the courage to step out today. In Jesus' name.